Welcome to the podcast for the 22nd of September. I'm your host, Paul White. As we told you yesterday on the DDP, we are airing today on all of our audio and video platforms, including our website, paulwhiteministries.com, the sermon from McDougal, Arkansas, titled The Conformed and the Transformed. Now, as I said, normally I tell you what's coming so that you can sort of anticipate it, but also this week, I wanted to tell you what's coming because at the end of the sermon, I took some Q&A. It wasn't long, just a real short, 5-6 minutes. And one of the questions was in regards to a statement we made in the sermon. I thought it would be appropriate to put in the podcast my response to that question on the same day we air the sermon. So, to understand the reason for this first question, I would recommend you listen to The Conformed and the Transformed. It's available wherever you get this podcast. The question deals with a statement we make near the end of the message about the transformation that happens as we behold the face of Jesus at the end of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, on into chapter 4. But I didn't want to read the entire third chapter, so I tried to do a quick review. This is where we get ourselves doing things oftentimes in the pulpit that are incomplete, and we're trying to, for brevity's sake, to do so. And so I made the comment that what's written and engraved on stones was also called the ministry of death. And that intrigued someone in the crowd who would like some clarification. So the first 3 minutes or so of our answer is in response to that. I even recapped the question using the microphone so you'll know exactly what happens. At the end of that, someone asks about terminology. I don't know if you can hear them real well in the crowd. The question's not very long. But I had made a statement the night before about, you know, people call it get saved or become a Christian. They wanted to know what you ought to call them. And so I try to answer that. And then there's a little humor at the end and some things that I had to say about my early days of relationship with my wife. I hope you enjoy this short little podcast today that is sort of an addendum to the full-length The Conformed and the Transformed. We'll jump back to our text tomorrow from the book of 1 Corinthians. Enjoy. Question asked that we made the comment that the commandments are death. I'm going to read it. Okay, because that's the safest way too. I'll read it and we'll comment. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Holy Spirit, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Give me verse 7. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. If the ministry of death, written and engraven on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. Semicolon, we'll stop there for now. What's the ministry of death written on? Written and engraved in stones. The only thing in the Old Covenant written and engraved in stones is the commands. So Paul is using a clever way of saying something in Israel's history was engraved on stones. All of his audience knows what that is. He doesn't have to call it out. It's been engraved on stones. It's the ministry of death. It was glorious. It was powerful, and it shone with light. And the children of Israel couldn't look at Moses' face because of that glory. But the glory was to be done away. Verse 8. How shall not the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious than the ministry of the law? Watch verse 9. I didn't even bring this one up, but Paul changes the adjective. If the ministry of condemnation was glorious, much more the ministry of righteousness exceeds in glory. So what does Paul call that which was engraved on stone? The ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation. What happens to people if you preach to them nothing but the law? They're condemned and they die. And that's the Apostle Paul's core message of the new covenant. They're condemned and they die. And I've watched that play out forever. Because if you come into church, you'd be all excited, you meet Jesus, and then people start preaching the law, the law, the law, do. What happens to your spirit? Kills it, shrivels up and dies. No one should be surprised that that happens. It was prophesied in 2 Corinthians 3.
Last night you said something about, we say, he asked Jesus, Yeah.
It's believers, and what do you say when someone accepts Jesus? Do you say they're saved?
Oh, you're talking just terminology.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters what you say. I really don't. The New Testament uses a lot of phrases. Sometimes the New Testament calls them Christians. Sometimes the New Testament calls them believers. Sometimes the New Testament calls them saints. Sometimes the New Testament says they are saved. Sometimes it calls them new creations. Terminology is terminology. I think maybe the greater point that I was making last night is we've concentrated ourselves so hard in the church on getting people to a light switch moment of salvation. Like, say this prayer and then you'll be saved. And I believe that the New Testament idea of salvation is coming into believing in Jesus. And I don't know that that's always a light switch moment, because I watch people walk into faith slowly. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen that way, that people accept Jesus with a prayer and then boom, they instantaneously sense the presence of the Spirit. But I also have had people pray the prayer, say the prayer, repeat the prayer, hands laid on them, and go, nothing happened. Why? Why'd nothing happen? I thought you did the magic prayer. Because it was all about faith. It was all about believing. And some people walk into belief, whereas some people walk straight to belief. Yeah, and I think we've put terms on it for so long, rather than making this an act of faith, we've tried to... Because what ends up happening inevitably, somebody like my wife, raised in church and never had her moment, never had her light switch moment of getting saved. Been a believer as long as she's been alive. And she said, I spent most of my life in church condemned because I didn't have my moment. Never didn't believe in Jesus, but never had my moment. It's like, did I need to have my moment? When we first met, she'd be, well, did I need to have? And I go, and back then, you know, I was just hoping that she'd date me. So, I'm not going to. Basically, like, what do you want to hear? That wasn't true. But it wasn't entirely true, but it was kind of true. No, but I do remember my experience walking through this with her actually helped me transform some thinking, because my thinking was that way too. Like, you didn't get up here at that altar and pray that prayer, you're gonna bust hell wide open. You know, I don't care what you say you did. But then began to realize, no, this is a walk of faith, and faith's a call to adventure, and you walk into that call slowly sometimes. So yeah, that's it's a terminology thing.